The following is a Stick Boy We Talk production.
The following contest scheduled for one fall.
I am the man.
If you're the man, what the rock is talking. Woo! The best there is.
Welcome to the One Fall Podcast. I'm your host, Joel Johnson. And today, tonight, we are reviewing Full Gear. So let's jump right into it. Let's not waste any time. Let's start with the buy-in. Britt Baker, Bea Priestley. This was kind of billed as a bit of a blow-off for the feud, built around Bea Priestley kicking Britt in the head, causing the concussion. And we saw Britt Baker do what she said she would do medically, and she pressed on the nerve. She made Bea Priestley tap out, and Britt got the win. But we also got to see another thing at the end of the match with Awesome Kong and Brandy. The hair cutting and the smelling of the hair, it was very interesting. I'm not totally sold on it yet. It's very weird to see Brandy go from putting her husband over in a babyface setting to almost kind of being a witch-like heel. Like, she's got the, it almost looks like she's grieving or going to a funeral, and then she's got Awesome Kong beating people up. I mean, on the positive side, it doesn't look like Brandy's going to step into the ring again. I don't think the ring is the right spot for her. However, I do think Awesome Kong is good in this spot, and you could build her up and build this up for Babyface to finally slay, so that's a positive aspect of this. So we'll see where this goes. This is, again, you kind of see the women's division a little bit struggling, but this is probably the best buy-in that AEW has done. It was short and sweet, to the point, and it got us ready and raring to go for the main show, which had a grand total of 7 matches on the card. And we kicked it off hot with a Young Bucks versus the Proud and Powerful, Inner Circle versus the Elite. This was a great match, had great psychology. The way that one of the Bucks was selling his leg in the end and how that was detrimental to the end of the match was absolutely fantastic to see. The right team won, Proud and Powerful, getting a big win. It's one of those moments that help elevate the guys moving forward, and it helps establish them. And it also has a story where the Bucks are in a bit of a rut right now, and they absolutely are. It's one of those moments where you're like, okay, this is where we kind of get going with stuff. But the best part about this was absolutely the Rock and Roll Express, how they were used at the end. We got to see a Canadian Destroyer and a dive. It was insanity. I'm wondering if they're setting up a Rock and Roll Express versus Proud and Powerful, or we could have the Rock and Roll Express and the Young Bucks versus Proud and Powerful, another tag team. So that was another nice little spot here that I'm like, this is where you kind of want to have people, where you have threads to continue to pull on to help build that story moving forward. And I feel like Proud and Powerful will now enter that ranking, and I feel like they're going to be higher up on that list, which is a good thing, because I think eventually I could see Inner Circle with all the gold, which I think would be really neat to see. There'd be no complaints for me for there, and it gives the Young Bucks a further storyline. They're not quite done with Proud and Powerful with the Rock and Roll Express, so it'll be fun. I thought this match was good, and it just kind of kept things moving forward. Next match was Pac versus Adam Page in the blow-off match. I thought this was a great match as well. Like, this was a very well-worked match. They definitely put Hangman over here, and the crowd was solely behind Hangman Page. And Page's finisher and the setup was fantastic. I loved Pac's Brutalizer. This was a great match. These two have good chemistry together. I think Pac looks strong in defeat, but I think Hangman getting the win sets up a further storyline moving forward. And shifting gears to our next next match, which this is one of the matches I wasn't totally sold on, and again, totally not sold on. Shawn Spears, Joey Janela. I thought it was a good match, but man, it was just too long of a match. That match you could have shortened up. I love the use of Tully at the end. I think that's very good to establish, with Tully being a driving force for Shawn Spears and playing a role. I liked how Joey Janela was dead weight in that match, and then Spears hits his finisher and gets the 1-2-3, putting himself in the win column and on a big pay-per-view stage. Again, this match just needed to be tightened up a bit. That's one thing. I think you need to tighten things up just slightly to kind of really drive home things with a show like this. But this is a company that you're clearly seeing is learning and growing. You can't have a bad show. You can't shit the bed. So it's going to be very interesting to see where they go from here next. But they've always seemed to make a point that they drive home, and they've shown that they listen to fans. So I'm curious to see if they listen in this regard and are working to tighten things up. I like both these guys. I think Spears is a guy that you needs a little bit more of a rub right now, having Tully there. I think if it wasn't for Tully, I don't know how much you drive with Spears. But Joey Janela will definitely get his moment at some point. It's going to take a little bit of time, but getting a pay-per-view match is not a bad way to start the ball rolling slowly. I don't know what's next for Spears, but it's going to be very interesting to see where they go with him next. As medical staff was tacking at Joey Janela, we got a promo from Kip Sabian, who basically is like, I was right in the middle, and now I know what I need to do. And it was revealed his valet, Penelope Ford, will be rolling with him. I like this promo. I thought it was a good promo. I thought it established, gave you a glimpse into the character of Kip Sabian. He's clearly a villain right now. And he's got a valet, and he's kind of hot shit right now. That's the way I interpret his character. I loved the glasses. I think that was one of my favorite parts of the promo. Just the way the glasses looked on him, the toothpick. I thought they were two excellent little things that he can do moving forward. And I like the use of Penelope Ford. I think she's very talented. So using her in this setting is a good way to go. And we know that she can wrestle. So then you can occasionally pop her in and have matches, and that helps add a different dynamic to this character, which I think is solid. Having these little promos, yeah, absolute must to help elevate and get these guys over. And it was good. I'm excited to see where Kip Sabian goes from here. Now we got four more matches left on the card. Next one is the three-way for the AEW Tag Team title. Newly won Tag Team Champion SoCal Uncensored, Frankie Kazarian, Scorpio Sky versus the Lucha Bros versus Private Party. I thought this was a good match. I thought this was solid. A little sloppy. I thought there was a few times things weren't clicking. There was a slight disconnect at times where I found Frankie Kazarian wasn't clicking with the Lucha Bros. And at times, Private Party, everyone just seemed a little disjointed here, which is fine, because not everything's going to be buttery smooth. I thought this had a lot of good moments. I thought the match was better in the back half than the beginning half. Obviously, SoCal Uncensored retained, so that is what you wanted to see to help elevate. Private Party took the pin. And then you kind of established again the Lucha Bros being kind of assholes and beating down SCU, lights go out, and suddenly Pentagon sees a reflection of himself, and he gets they get beaten up, and then it's revealed that Christopher Daniels has returned from injury. I thought he didn't get quite the reaction that he should have. I'm not a fan quite of what they did with this. I thought I didn't agree with the choice. I thought it kind of made Pentagon look like a bit of an idiot. Because why would you stare at yourself and do the Sierra Monero in front of yourself when this is clearly a guy set to attack you? I don't know. I think Daniels would have got a bigger pop if he had just been Christopher Daniels. You'd seen the Fallen Angel pop up. But it's nice to see SCU back in formation. It's going to be interesting to see where they go with this, because Daniels was originally supposed to ride the wave with Frankie, and now they're a three-man unit, and it's going to be interesting to see where they go. I think this may lead to Daniels versus Pentagon, which I'm fine with, because I think they could have a good match, and seeing Pentagon in a singles match would be A-okay in my books. Moving along here, next we've got the singles match for the AEW Women's Championship. Riho defending her title against Emi Sakura. This is one of another little critique. I would love to have seen that video package that played at the beginning of the match on Dynamite, or at least throughout the week in the last little bit, to kind of help establish the story a bit more. I think after that win Emi Sakura got, I think you could have probably flipped this into your social media, which you've been very strong at. I thought that was a missed opportunity, but you still get to see the video, you still get the idea of the matchup, and that kind of helps kind of grab your attention a little bit heading into the match. I thought this was a decent match. I thought this was one of the matches that kind of meandered at the beginning a little bit, but as it got more and more towards the end, I thought it was a really solid match. Riho obviously winning. This was a big moment for both of them, as you got to see their history and understand why this was a big moment for both of them. It's good to see Riho continue. I think she's been in a great spot as the babyface for the women's division, and I think the fans are just going to start to love her more and more. She was the right call, and you build her up. I could see a story where Awesome Kong destroys her, and that leads us to whatever babyface you have will defeat Awesome Kong, or build a long-term story where Riho eventually beats Awesome Kong and gets that big rub. We've seen what she can do against Nyla. I'd be curious to see what she could do against Awesome Kong. I think that would be a nice little contrast of styles and sizes, and it could lead to a lot of fun moments within the match. Ultimately, I think Riho having a long run with the title. I gotta say, it's really cool to see the graphic that has the record for these guys, because you got an idea where they're going, and I think this ranking system is another good idea as well. I enjoyed it. I thought the back half was better, but it was still a solid match, and this was a good show up to this point. There were a few little flubs, but all in all, I thought it was a solid show. Now we get to probably where we're going to talk the most. First and foremost being Chris Jericho defending his AEW World Championship against Cody. MJF seconding Cody, and Jake Hager seconding Jericho. This was a old school, slow build, psychology driven, bloody match. I don't care what anyone says. I'll bet money that Cody was split open hard way. Just the way the cut looked on his eye, and just the way he landed there was gnarly. He took a beating here. This was a slow, physical match. Crowd was really behind Cody. You really wanted him to have that moment, which is a sign of a good baby face. And then you had Jake Hager get involved, and then they threw him out. So you knew Jake Hager could play no role, and MJF is sitting at the side, and he's waiting. And then Jericho gets Cody locked in this brutal lion tamer, Walls of Jericho, just really. And the lower Jericho goes, you can't see what's happening on Cody's face. He's completely blocked. All you know is his back's getting wrenched, especially after the way he landed on the dive, the suicide dive on the outside. He had to be in tremendous pain, and MJF threw in the towel. He threw in the towel, and he can now no longer challenge for the AEW World Championship. And it sucked the air out of the room. You could feel that crowd that wanted Cody to win didn't get that moment, and it was just the ultimate of like losing air in the chest. But it was that moment where you could look and go, okay, what's next for this storyline? Spent time in the ring with MJF and Cody. Jericho is celebrating with a little bit of the bubbly with the Inner Circle as they got the big win to establish the Inner Circle was better than the Elite on this night. And then you got the moment. You got the moment that everyone was waiting for, not sure when it was going to happen. MJF low-blowed Cody and walked away. And in what may be one of the most iconic moments for MJF moving forward is either a plant or a fan threw a beer at MJF at the top of the stage. And just the way he no-sold it and then kept moving forward was tremendous. Was this too early of a heel turn, like the full heel turn for MJF? Because I've enjoyed this moment where you don't fully know when it's coming. I think they could have probably dragged it out for a little bit longer. But on the flip side, how much longer could MJF had kept this going and still been like, well, he's just not going to turn. It makes no sense. And then to have him suddenly turn. The only time will tell. The video packages, the promos for this will be very interesting. I wouldn't have MJF face Cody right away at a pay-per-view. I'd find a way for MJF to skirt around this. I think the payoff is MJF Cody finally getting his hands on MJF. I think you got to find a way to kind of keep these two apart for a bit. I would say after the match and the brutality that Cody faced, I think I could see him off TV for a little bit. And that's where you just let MJF do his thing and cut promos and just be MJF, which is what he's good at. I don't know what's next for Jericho, but Cody's now kind of wrapped up with this MJF story. And I'm curious to see where it's going to go. I do think it was a little too quick, but I mean, we often complain about WWE not pulling the trigger or ROH not pulling the trigger. Maybe a little early, but they pulled the trigger on it. You now despise MJF, and he very well may be the biggest heel in AEW. And now ends the sanctioned part of the night, and we get to the final match, which was 40 minutes. It was unsanctioned, lights out. I'm John Moxley, Kenny Omega. I'm not a big hardcore guy. I cringe and grimace, but man, was this was quite the match. I'm not a big hardcore guy, but I can respect what these guys put themselves through. They were creative in this. Like I'm not a big deathmatch guy, but it's still good. It's still a good match. It showed Omega can go there, and Omega went to that place. There's so many things that happened. The trampoline of the barbed wire going through the sign, the mouse traps, which you can just imagine Kenny gleefully sitting there and building these traps at 3 a.m. Last night, getting ready for this. The glass, which was just rough, and Moxley there were several moments here that you can use to define both Moxley and Omega. The way they used the broom was just gnarly. I'm surprised there wasn't more blood. I honestly thought there would be more blood than what there was, especially when they both went into the barbed wire. Ultimately, Moxley got the win. This doesn't count, but I think the one thing that you can see from all of this is just how freaking happy Moxley is. I think that's a big thing. Going through all of this, and he still has a big grin on his face, and he's really happy with where he is right now. I think it speaks volumes to AEW, and I think that's something that to keep an eye on moving forward for other talent. all in all, this show was a show that had a little bit for everyone. They had different style matches that worked for different fans. So this was really a bag that had just a wide variety of different matches. I didn't even hit on the three judges that they had were Arn Anderson, Dean Malenko, and Great Muta. Getting the Great Muta as a judge was just absurdly crazy. I don't know if it needed to be a surprise, but that is still cool to see that it was Muta. This was a good show. I thought there were positives in it. This is just established that he's the face of your company in a lot of ways, and I don't think that's a mistake. Kenny looked like a madman out there. Like, you go from the Omega that wrestled Okada to a 60-minute time limit draw to this Omega. They're two completely different people. So Omega was able to go out and do a hardcore match, just a crazy level. This wasn't a death match, but this was a hardcore match. From footage I've seen of death matches, this was the illusion of violence at times. They do stuff that would kind of trick you into thinking, oh my god, this was way worse than it actually was, which is a good thing for the health and safety of everyone. But the trampoline is something I'm not going to forget. The trampoline of barbed wire and watching the guy slowly getting peeled out of that, and the use of glass. Those were the two things that you see and you're like, I didn't expect to see this in professional wrestling. All in all, I thought this was, again, it was a good show, solid show. I don't think they shit the bed in any way. I think there are a few little blips on the radar, but that's the thing. This company, this is their third pay-per-view that they've done. You're going to have growing pains with it, but you're also going to have positives. And I think there were a lot of positives. I'm excited to see what's going to happen on Wednesday, because that's going to give us a lot of answers. And I'm curious to see what the scrums bring. I'm going to be keeping tabs on those, because knowing more on that is cool. And I'm excited to see what Tony Khan says, what the Bucks say, and what's next for AEW. So there you go. My rundown review of Full Gear. I would give it a solid B as a show. Check it out if you want. Be warned, hardcore match may not be for you, but I guarantee you there's at least one or two matches on this card that's for you that you can sink your teeth into. So thank you guys for listening, and we will be back with more wrestling news and reviews.
Goodbye! Mm-hmm. And good night, Ben!